Our next guest is a New York Times best-selling author, a two-time winner of the Children's Choice Book Award for third to fourth grade book of the year. His last book, the acclaimed graphic novel Hey Kiddo, was a National Book Award finalist. And he's got a wonderful new book out entitled Sunshine, How One Camp Taught Me About Hope, a Life, Death, and Hope, based on his experiences working at Camp Sunshine here in the state of Maine. Author Jarrett Krozoska joins us on Downtown.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
My gosh, what a wonderful book this was, and I look forward to talking with you about it. But I want to go back a little bit and talk about Hey Kiddo and what not just a success, but a phenomenon that was. Could you have imagined that such a personal story would resonate with so many people?
No. There's something, a couple of levels on that. One is what I've learned from the success of Hey Kiddo is that the more specific you are in communicating your story, the more universal it becomes. So, you know, Hey Kiddo is about this story about this teenager in the 1990s struggling with his mother's addiction to heroin and how that affected him in his childhood and how he doesn't know his father, how he's being raised by his grandparents. And, particularly a white male in blue-collar Worcester, Massachusetts in the 90s. Yet, I travel the country to talk about the book, and everywhere I go, I meet people who connect with it on such a deep level. And, you know, it doesn't matter where I am in the country or who I'm talking to, they're like, I recognize everything in that book because they know those emotions and they're able to identify with what's going on there. Now when you ask, was I surprised by how successful it was? Now before Hey Kiddo, which is raw and unflinching and a young adult title, before that I was known for writing just lighthearted, campy, fun books like The Lunch Lady graphic novel, right? The Lunch Lady Who Fights Crime. It definitely has more in common with Scooby-Doo and Batman 66 than anything else, or picture books like Punk Farm and Peanut Butter and Jellyfish. So leading up to the publication of Hey Kiddo, I kept having this sinking feeling of, am I just shooting myself in the foot? Am I just completely wrecking my career? But my North Star in taking on creative projects is the thought of what is something that's going to cause me a certain level of anxiety and fear, because it's something that I haven't done yet. It's something, maybe a topic that I haven't tackled yet. And I think that when we approach the unknown, when we take on things that might cause us a little bit of uneasiness, that's where we really grow as people and as creative individuals.
Well, speaking of venturing into the unknown, so what kind of emotions were going through you as you prepared to head off as a young man right here to the state of Maine and Camp Sunshine?
So it's interesting to think about this, but my high school, I went to Holy Name High School in Worcester, Massachusetts, and as being a Catholic high school, there was a lot of encouragement for service. And so every year they would send three separate groups of seniors up in a school van to volunteer at Camp Maine the camp in Maine for the week. And it was such a part of the community and a part of the culture at my high school that it had its own spread in the yearbook. So coming up, you would look at Camp Sunshine or getting the chance to volunteer at Camp Sunshine kind of the same way you would look at like getting to go to prom, like this huge rite of passage. And my high school was able to send about like 30 students every year, 30 seniors. At the informational meeting, you know, about like 100 students would pile into that classroom to learn more about how they could go. And the faculty, you know, the only way to be fair was they pulled names from a hat. And 100%, there's no doubt that they pulled names from a hat because the group of students that went up was so incredibly random. Like, it wasn't just kids who were pulling, you know, 4.0 grade averages. And it's very much like I try to, when I'm describing that experience and that experience that's retold in this book, it's kind of like the Breakfast Club in that.
I had that thought when I was reading it. That's so funny you say that.
That's funny. So yeah, you had like, you know, loading up in the school van, there's the jock, there's the stoner, there's the theater geek, there's the AP nerd, you know, just thrown in together to have this intense experience together. And obviously it changed my life because it's something that's still very much in front of mind, you know, with or without this book. You know, it has always been front of mind for me.
Well, and anybody who's worked at a summer camp knows that there's nothing like that experience. You bond, you form friendships, and while you may rarely or never see those people again, anytime you work in a summer camp, it becomes this emotional experience. And then you factor in everything going on with the young people you were working with, and boy, that has to make such an indelible impression.
You know, you absolutely hit the nail on the head there, because time moves differently when you are at a camp. It moves very slowly, and yet it moves very rapidly at the same time. So that, coupled with the intensive experience of befriending and taking care of young people with such tremendously serious illnesses, it just leaves such an incredible bond. And I'm still in touch with so many of the camp families I'd helped take care of. I'm still in touch with so many of the kids that I was working with. In fact, you know, one of the main quote unquote characters in the book is this character named Johnny, who, you know, is definitely like the life of the party type character and very closely tied to an actual friend named Jonathan who goes by Johnny, who actually texted me just yesterday. He knew the book was coming. Anytime that I'm writing a story about my real life, if there's people featured in the book, I give them a heads up. I let them know what I'm working on. He lives in Massachusetts, but he was in Maine to the school vacation week here in Massachusetts. So he was up in Maine and found the book at a bookstore and just took a picture of his kids reading the passage that featured him. It's just like, I don't know, like that's just like meta on so many different levels. He's in Maine, there he is with his kids, and there he is on the page.
That's wonderful. We're talking with Jarrett Krozoska. His wonderful book is Sunshine, How One Camp Taught Me About Life, Death, and Hope. You're covering such a heavy subject. There's got to be some balance, and there's a lot of that. You read what the book's about, and you think, oh, this is going to be a little bit tough. And it is at times, but there are also some very, very funny moments, including, I think, maybe one of my favorite moments in the book was your time as Chippy.
Anyone who has ever had to volunteer to be a cartoon costumed mascot will know and understand that knee-jerk feeling you will have of this plastic and rubber costume that's covered in heavy fur that you wear in the hot summer sun. So that costume smells like a million other people's sweat and your own breath, and you have a very limited scope of vision.
And I think you captured the scent very well in the book.
Yes, we use the expression musty fart, which in and of itself is funny on the page, but I don't know if you knew this, but we also make audiobook adaptations of my graphic novel.
Right, right.
And it's a full cast, so every character that utters any word is voiced by a different human being, and we use sound effects to create theater of the mind. But the session in which we recorded the musty fart line, we were like school children with very expensive audio equipment.
There are also some incredibly poignant moments in the book. So many of them center around two of the young people that you worked with, Diego and Eric, and what a remarkable story they had. And boy, the part that got me, though, that had me sitting there getting a little dusty in the room was reading about the wish boats.
Yeah, right. So that's an amazing and beautiful tradition at camp. During arts and crafts during the week, kids get these little wooden boats that they decorate, that they write their wishes on, and they paint it however they want to. And at the very last night of camp, after the talent show, after the farewell show, we take their wish boats and we go to Lake Sebago, and there's a little candle is placed on the boat, and that candle is lit, and the boats go off, and the children make a silent wish for what they want in life. And if it got a little dusty in the room when you were reading the book, wait until you hear the audiobook, because when adapting a visual book for audio, anything that's told in the illustrations has to have some kind of sound cue. And what we did was we basically created a Greek chorus, children uttering their wishes. I helped direct and produce these audiobooks. And so I actually built out a little audiobook studio in a closet in the basement here. And basically that production is filled with the voices of my friend's kids and my kid's friends, which made it really convenient to have it here. We're having friends over to say, hey, would you want to run downstairs and we'll record a few things? Is anyone down for that? So it's a Greek chorus of young people uttering their wishes, which, you know, given the set of circumstances these kids are dealing with, are very heavy what kids might wish for.
Wow. Well, I've got to check that out too. The book is wonderful. And I love your story and your personal story. And to me, the word inspiration gets overused. I think it's more important. And I work with kids. I'm a high school teacher. And I think your personal story is one that so many of those kids can connect with and, yes, be inspired by, but also see a path to getting through some of the struggles that so many young people face.
Well, thank you, Richard. And I hope so. And I think that when you're a young person, it's hard to envision anything beyond your current set of circumstances, because it's all you've ever known. But there's a great big world out there, and as you grow up and as you move through this world, you get more and more control over how you operate in that world. And I kind of liken it to this, as a teacher, when you're a young person, if you need to go to the bathroom, you have to ask permission. And you have to get like a little slip of paper that tells anyone who stops you that you have permission to go use the bathroom. But as an adult, I tell kids, when I need to go to the bathroom, I just walk to the bathroom and go. I don't have to talk to anyone about it. I don't have to ask if I can go pee. I will urinate on my own accord when I want to. And that is kind of like a metaphor for life. Like when you grow up and you move into this world, you don't need a hall pass. You are a controller when you walk around and move around.
It is a powerful story, a wonderful read, Sunshine, How One Camp Taught Me About Life, Death, and Hope. Jared Krozoska, thank you so much for visiting with us. I enjoyed the book, and now I have to go give a listen to the audiobook version too, and I can't wait for that.
Well, thank you, Rich, and I hope everything's beautiful up in Maine, and I look forward to getting back to your great state at some point this summer.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you, Rich.